Fan Morning Show, Sports FM 9 of the Fan. Feeling fine. JD Bunkus. Our technical producer, Josh Santos, just mentioned in my ear, he's like, have a good show, right as the show was starting. And I my mic was live, but I was going to say to you, Josh, is you also have a good show, all right? This is one of those rare times where someone says to you, have a good show, and you can say it back to them, you too. Because normally in your life, you're an idiot, and you just say, people say, have a good show, and you go, thanks, you too. And they go, I'm the janitor. And then you say, correct, you are the show. I'm JD Bunkus, it's Ailish Forfar. I guess you've never done that to somebody.
I do that all the time when I go and get like a coffee, and they're like, enjoy, and I'm like, you too, and I'm like, oh god.
Yeah,
and
but you've never done have a good show because
anybody luck at all.
No,
I want everyone to fail. I hope you have a bad show, actually.
So no one thinks that. Wow, the heat. Okay, two things are very clear with Ailish today, then, I guess, based on your listening to that question and also, or that comment, and also just your sourness in general. One is that you were dead last yesterday, last place in the wing eating competition by like a wide margin. Blake and I slowed down. It got to the point where it was such a huge margin that Blake and I just decided that he went, I'm going to just keep eating more wings than you, so when do you want to bow out? And I went, well, I guess now. So this is the way that it's a little controversial. I have my opinions. I will share them in a second, but
as do I. I have a lot of stipulations.
He kind of won. I will say Blake won-ish. He won-ish. Yes. He won depending on how you define winning. I guess. Yeah. Okay. Number two, you still don't have air conditioning in your apartment, and that's why you're all sour. You're not even listening.
I'm so grouchy.
I know. That's what I mean. I was gonna tell you that you don't get to wish people good show back because you've never done an hour where you see other humans. You know, you never go and you're never working in the newsroom and doing something and then someone says it to you. You never meet a stranger in a middle of the day and they tell you to have a good show
or you're just a hermit.
Former guest. Well, no, it's you work at 6 a.m. You're not a hermit. You literally were out of the house yesterday at the St. Louis Bar and Grill having a billion wings. I'll say, okay, so you still have your AC, which had to be a nightmare after wings because when I'm full, I want to be cool. And yesterday, that heat just came in out of nowhere. When I was watching Kevin Gausman pitch, I felt so sorry for him. Did you see how sweaty he was?
Mm-hmm.
He was drenched, and I went, hey, brother, I walked 2 subway stations on the Yonge Line to get to the St. Louis Bar and Grill. I know exactly how you feel. Just 2 athletes being asked to gut it out and go deep for the team, you know? Have to really stretch it out in the heat. Didn't matter. It was disgusting yesterday. So for you to eat those wings, feel disgusting, and then have to go back to your sweat lodge, I don't envy you.
It's been a tough, 12 hours, I guess?
You're in trouble today.
I'm in trouble. Today is supposed to be the hottest day of, I don't know. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
The year, the century. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's already 28 and a half at 6:04 a.m. I don't know. This might be the record-breaking day in terms of heat in my apartment. Maybe I just go walk around the mall. Be one of those mall walkers.
You got to do like in those sitcoms from the 80s when they didn't even have air conditioning where it was like, and everybody goes to the public pool. That's going to be you. You got to take your cat. You got to take little Bandit. You got to put little floaties on Bandit.
She might pass out. Pool.
Yes, I didn't consider that. You're kind of an animal abuser.
Okay.
I'm just saying that people are like, don't leave animals in a hot car, and you're leaving it in a version of a hot car for like, I don't know, a month? That seems like
she's
not
been finding areas that are cool, though.
Oh,
she's
has
lucky.
She? Oh, you talked
she
to her about
She goes like, yeah, she told me about it. Finds these like under the bed, in the tub, in the shoe closet. Like she's got her spots. I'm just like sitting on the couch with a fan trying to eat grapes to cool myself.
Wow, sounds like, you know, you're really having a tough time eating your grapes like a royal. up in your fancy
somebody
apartment.
For you.
Somebody fanned me with a palm leaf.
So, before we talk to Blake later, do you want to try to get ahead of this in terms of like how bad you were? Because again, you had 17 wings.
I had 18.
And I know you finished with 18, but I'm saying you had 17, and I've never seen anyone in my life like the stock. You didn't even eat your stock primary allotment. Like, we helped you out a little bit off your plate from your first round of the wings, and you weren't even really like participating in the conversation. You were just kind of like, you kind of just like leaned on the table, and you were like, I'm hurting, my tummy hurts, and it's a lot. And Blake and I were basically just warming up. We were okay, we were fine. I'll admit that I was a little bit more like, I'll admit Blake was impressive in terms of he just like he picks the bones clean. Like Blake is exactly like what I would picture. Like it was Blake was king of the cave in terms of cleaning the bones. Like he was like that's what a caveman would do with meat. It's like nothing is sacrificed. You got to make sure that every little piece of cartilage.
He told us he was self-conscious because he heard us ripping on people that clean their wings before the show, and he was still cleaning them to an absurd amount of bone.
But I don't judge people that like he misheard me. I don't judge people who clean the meat off the bone. I judge people who judge people for not cleaning the meat off the bone. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to scrape my teeth to get every little tiny piece of cartilage. I'm going to eat a wing like a normal person, which is when the wing is done and all the meat is essentially gone, done. Like, I'm not scraping the bottom part of just the dry skin at the one part of it. I'm not killing myself for every little piece of it. And if people do, I don't even pay attention to it. Like, I see, you know how everyone's, I see the world half empty, I see the world half full. I see just picked wings until I saw Blake's, which I was like, oh, that's what people are talking about. Because his were actually, I was like, how do you even do that? How do you even get that level of meat off the bone? It was like quite a feat. I was pretty impressed by it. I was like watching him to be, hey, what's he doing different than what I'm doing right now?
Getting his strategies.
But your performance was a pathetic one. Like it was bad. It was pathetic. Then you made like you stole from the JD handbook before me. I saw your Instagram story where you tried to make excuses and you tried to have your spin. And I went, wow, you for like to outspin the spin master, which was me, and to beat me to the spin punch.
Too much time with you, haven't
I? I know. I felt.
You should have a little bit of pride, honestly.
I did. I did have a little bit of pride. I did. When you said I'm just a young chicken, I laughed
you loved
hard.
That, eh?
Yeah, I did. I liked that because you were like, I'm playing for young
these
health.
These are my stipulations.
Yeah,
to
body
all right.
Mass
so
index.
I ended up with 18 wings. JD ended up with 25 wings, and Blake ended up with 27 wings.
I mercied you out, though.
Doesn't matter. That's the final count. Nobody's there to watch. The scoreboard is the scoreboard. I drank four beers.
Yeah.
Blake drank four beers, and JD had three beers. So very important thing to note.
You want a new update?
It should be an
you
asterisk.
Actually had five beers. Blake had five beers.
Afterwards,
we all had
an extra beer, but this is during the competition. So during the competition, four, four, and three. I do believe that a lot of my stomach was compromised due to the amount of beer that was also in there. If I hadn't had four beers, I think I could have eaten at least six more wings. But I wanted to be a team player, and I had four beers, and you had three. So I think there's something there, maybe a little bit of a bonus for me and a deducting points for you. Secondly, you guys both have higher body mass index and you're older and you've eaten chicken wings your whole life and you've look at Blake's strategy.
No, that's usually how it works with like a competition is that the olds are the ones who have the advantage. You're young. You're in your prime. You're spry. You're supposed to be able to be like, you know what? I can dig deep and I can rely on my athletics. Like, that's the thing. I pictured you in your hockey career and it was like, Ailish, we need another shift from you. And you just went, I'm too tired, coach. I am just a tired little young chicken and I am not going to go back out on the ice.
I mean, young chicken that just hatched.
You're basically Scottie Pippen telling, like, Hey, coach, I'm not going back in this basketball game. Like, I'm not the star player. I'm not going back in. I don't get the last shot. I'm not going back in. That was you. Like, you kind of, you're famous for quitting on your team, not the other way around. Like, we could have put up racks. We could put up numbers.
You know what? You guys kept saying to me, like, don't worry. Like, don't force yourself to eat the wings. Like,
yeah, that's because I'm playing head games and
I know,
dominating.
And it worked because I was like, you're right. Like, why do I need to gorge myself? I'm not some disgusting caveman like you two. So I left
don't
feeling.
Don't try to take caveman and put it on me after I already did it to Blake. That's not how this works.
Anyway, so I humbly admit defeat with an asterisk of a couple
stipulations. Do you humbly admit it? Because I think that when you just said all the things you said, that's not really humbly admitting defeat. I think that that's not the definition. The first round of wings happened, and I'm devastated because, okay, the reason why I had less beers than you guys is because, like, I was the only one that had hot wings. You guys were eating the children's wings. And
we
so
had hot wings
there.
Off your plate, remember, and they weren't hot, had, so you can't.
You had one, and Blake had zero of mine. Oh. And as I was eating the hot wings with the – they were hot. They were three flames. Three flames. They're regular house hot. But as anybody who actually eats hot wings knows, you don't really take breaks because they're oilier, and you know you got to clean up after. I don't really want to touch the bottle. I don't want to touch anything. So I'm going through. My biggest mistake is that Blake ate faster than I did. You ate almost as fast as I did. Blake counted his bones in the first round, and I had an opportunity to have eaten more than him in the first round and have called it. And I prematurely said, I'm about to eat more than Blake. And he snapped
bad juju.
A wing off of my plate. No, he snapped that last wing out of my basket to tie it after the first round, which forced us into extra innings. And then, just like the Toronto Blue Jays, that's where I knew I was going to blow it because I didn't have the relief pitchers. I didn't have the arms for it, and Blake just had me there. I will say that was like Blake did have the ultimate like real competitor's edge there, where he just like he did where he looked at me and he was like, you know, I'm just gonna. However many you eat.
I'm just going to win. So, like, just let me know when you're done.
I said it was like, it was very much like Larry Bird at the 3-point contest where he's like, who's coming in second? That's the attitude. Those are the vibes that he gave me. Anyways, it was fun. Thanks to St. Louis Bar and Grill for having us, Wing Sandy. Now we know that I can hang with wings. Blake can hang with wings. If you ever want to invite us back, please do. But Ailish, you know, you probably just stick to, you know, I don't know, boneless. Stick to your grapes with your cat in your red hot apartment because this isn't the life for you. Anyway, what are you going to start? Matthews or the Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays.
Okay. So here's the positives.
Extra innings thing. You know, I thought you were onto something good there.
Which one?
Well, you said
that we're stuck in a loop.
No, how you just said that you were in extra innings with Blake eating wings, and then you related to the Blue Jays. I thought that was really smart of you, JD.
Okay, thank you.
Go get them.
Well, the reason why
have a good show.
Yeah, the reason why I didn't want to start with the Blue Jays bullpen is that it's like it's going to be Groundhog Day until they add some arms here. Like nothing's going to change. The last month of the season, they're one of the worst 10 bullpens in all of baseball. And the only other playoff team that exists in that same stratosphere with them is Minnesota. Then Minnesota somehow, like, their bullpen has given them absolutely nothing. Like, their Fangraphs war is 30th, and they're a playoff team right now. So, everybody else, you go up the standings, and it's decent. Like, it's nothing like this. And, again, Minnesota's in the AL Central. Like, they're able to kind of survive this differently. You saw the team that they're basically competing with yesterday, and they've been mediocre at best this year. But, like, Chicago has been viewed as a team that has had a bad bullpen this year. They've been without their closer for a while now. Like, they've been without their closer for a while. They had – you'll remember that they couldn't bring some arms up to Toronto the first time they came up. Last month of the season, they're 17th in all of baseball in Fangraphs war, which is not great, which is really not great. So there's two problems here. Blue Jays, 24th in Fangraphs war over the last month when it comes to their bullpen. Bookended by teams like Washington, who in that span is 5-7, Oakland 8-12, right? Toronto over the last month, weirdly, 500 now. Back to that whole thing. But it just, they don't, like, you, it's one thing to be using Matt Gage in a not serious way. Now they're at the point where they are using him in a serious way. And I don't put anything on Romano because, listen, closers, they blow saves. As far as I know, he's still the saves leader in all of Major League Baseball. They've had to ask a lot of him. He's had less of a workload lately, so you're not as concerned about it. But this is what's going to happen is as soon as you ask a guy like Romano to do two innings in his last outing, it doesn't matter if there's a day off. If he has a bad game the following one, you're going to wonder what the impact was, right? What happened to this outing? Was it impacted by the last one? Did you ask too much of him? Are you going to end up hurting this guy because you're going to need him in every single leverage spot and maybe sometimes a little bit more? And this is it. The Blue Jays went to a bullpen yesterday, once again, that has 1.5, maybe 2, arms that you trust. Simber was decent. Garcia, Romano, Meza. That's the only formula that works. So thank you, Kevin Gausman, for giving them 6 innings. The Blue Jays desperately needed it. But they have 0 outside of that. Like, nothing outside of those other guys.
And Matt, they're going to start today's midday game with, like, what, 1 person left in the bullpen to play? It feels like it's going to be a real tough for Ross Stripling, who's going to have to get as lengthy as he can in today's game.
They're back to the Trent Thornton plan. And we talked about this before. It's what makes it tougher, too. And this is the thing that I thought about where it's like the Blue Jays' bullpen needs to improve. They're at the bottom. But I said Minnesota is below them. Minnesota will be looking to add bullpen arms. Mm-hmm. The White Sox are going, like, they get Liam Hendricks back. Their bullpen is going to improve naturally from within a little bit more. But they're still going to be in the mix for bullpen arms. The Boston Red Sox, why have they struggled so much this year? Well, it's because they haven't had a closer. They've had a closer by committee, and some of their guys like Robles have not worked out this year. Like, there's a bunch of decent teams to good teams around baseball who are in the mix and who are in the American League who are also going to be hunting for bullpen arms. Like, Boston, Toronto, Chicago, Minnesota. Those teams alone, like, that's 4 teams right there just from the American League. Milwaukee's bullpen has not been very good this year. They've had kind of extenuating circumstances because of, like, what has happened with Josh Hader. He's mm-hmm. just had a whole bunch of stuff going on, but they're going to want to add. There's just a lot of teams around baseball. The Angels, I don't think, are going to go anywhere. They're going to probably try to add to their bullpen. Like, there are a lot of teams that are going to want to add arms.
And are there a lot of options?
Well, this is the thing, is that there's just, like, people have been throwing around names of young, controllable guys, and that's not really what I think you're going to be adding here. You're going to be trying to add veteran pitchers, and right now, this is probably the dilemma that the Blue Jays are facing, is that they're probably shopping around, they're probably asking around, but what are they getting offered? They're getting offered journeymen, probably, maybe guys with no control, who teams are saying will give us actual pieces for them, because you're going to have to jump the market. You're going to have to set the market. The problem is, I just think that they have to. The difference with them and some of these other teams that are lacking some arms is that the Blue Jays just don't even have, like, any depth, and they don't have any swing and miss, and they're going to have to do this in layers. Like, they really are. Them and the Twins are the only two teams where it's very, very desperate right now. Like, Boston needs to add a closer. That's the one thing they need to add in their bullpen. They need a lights-out guy, which is going to make it complicated for the Toronto Blue Jays come, like, deadline time, depending on what they need, because I think that the Jays basically need a setup man for Romano. They need a strikeout artist. They need a high-leverage, good, trustworthy bullpen arm, and so you can break that down as a closer however you want, but that, like, they're going to need that. But right now, out of all the playoff teams, despite some of them having, like, really tough pitching situations, like Minnesota doesn't have the same imperative to win this year. They don't have the same pressure to win this year. So yeah, this is just going to feel like Groundhog Day. A lot of these shows are just going to be, what's the relief pitching market? When are the Jays getting relief pitching? Like, all across the station, you're going to listen to Blair and Barker. They're going to be talking about when this is going to happen. You're going to be listening to Blue Jays Plus. This is what it's going to be about. It's like, you're going to listen to Fan Drive, Ennis and Brunt. Mm-hmm. This is what they're going to be talking about. The Jays need pitching. Like, you can't use Matt Gage in a serious way. You can't have bad blips from Romano and feel like as soon as it goes into extras that you're screwed, because they do not have enough arms.
Did you feel any better about their situation after seeing Gausman start yesterday?
Yes.
And that's well, good. Me too. Tiny, Gausman, tiny progressions.
So he had an interesting start. He was fooling guys with that. Like his splitter was working again. He got 7 punchouts in 6 innings. That was great. He still walked 2 batters. Who cares? I'm only picking at nits because the guy looked like he was an ace of his staff earlier in the season, and I thought that there were some moments where he got a little fortunate, like Alejandro Kirk's defense, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s defense. Like those guys actually made some plays for him. He gave up he had 2 runners on. I think it was in the 3rd inning, and Jose Abreu got to the dish, and he got the out. But Abreu was like a couple feet from a 3-run home run. And I did wonder how the game goes a little differently. He battled, though. And I read Arden's piece this morning. And Arden pointed out that this is a guy who's from Colorado, and he's never pitched in that kind of heat before.
I read that, too, and I thought, wow, I never even thought about, because I've played only in controlled climates in my sport, about how different that would be to be playing. And I guess yesterday in Chicago was, the hottest day ever recorded on history, basically, and how that affects you when he says, I didn't wear tights today. That was about it. That was the only thing I changed. And he drank a lot of Pedialyte and water. Yeah.
Again, Americans and Pedialyte.
I love my good Pedialyte.
Yeah, I know. But, I know because you're American.
But I would never have expected that to be such a impactful thing for somebody. I know that just surprised me.
Yeah, you're an American Finn. And you know all about Pedialyte. Finn. You know all about Finland and Pedialyte. Anyway, I thought that he battled. I thought that was an important one for him. And for him to be saying I was coming off of a start where he was fatigued, to step into like a really hot game like that and to battle and to continue and to face some adversity and get out of the adversity, I liked the start. There were a few moments where I said, oh boy, that was fortunate or that was close. But he did it. He did the job. So yes, process and results I thought were pretty good for Kevin Gausman yesterday. That was really comforting. I was going to start with that in terms of, to me, that was the good news. That was the good news of that game. 2 is that Kirk just remains unbelievably important to this team. Like, the guy draws a massive walk in the game and he hits the home run. And right now it just kind of feels like he's the tone setter for this offense at times, even more than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is. I just don't know if it's because I talk to Ennis too much. I don't know if because Ennis is so obsessed with Kirk and that he's just nonstop talks about Kirk to me in private that I overextrapolate a little bit. But no, I really do feel a lot of times like that I want him to be up in the big spots, which is wild. Because like he's sitting there in the dugout with Gabriel Moreno. There we go. So you like that? How
there
about
you go.
That?
Moreno.
He's sitting in, and I'm thinking, it's not...
Yay, JD!
It's nice that he's sitting there with a guy who can relate to him immediately. Like, they're... Moreno's just a kid, and Kirk's 23. You remember that all this is happening so unbelievably fast for him. Anyway, Kirk just continues to impress the hell out of me, but it's going to be the same thing. Like, you're going to have to use Matt Gage. You're going to probably lose ball games. And they had an opportunity to win, and Romano blew it. And I'm not trying to take responsibility off the guy, but it's hard to be mad at Romano blowing a save when the guy's been, pretty lights out for them this year. The only time I can remember him giving one up like that was with Aaron Judge and the Yankees when he blew that one. So, yeah, Toronto Blue Jays, it's Groundhog Day. You need more starting pitch, or you need more pitching. You need more length. You need a longer... You need a little swingman out of the bullpen, and you need some leverage in the back end. It's a multi-layered thing that has to happen sooner than later. Again, the Simber trade last year happened June 29th. We're a week away from that. We're now less than a week away from facing the Red Sox and then the Rays in back-to-back series. How important do they think that those games are right now? Because the standings say they're pretty damn important. And nights like last night make it feel pretty damn important. Anyways, we're at St. Louis Bar and Grill. And we're watching Eilish not eat wings. And the NHL awards are on. And Austin Matthews collects his hardware. He wins the heart, which again, like we said yesterday during the Wake and Rake, by the way, hit yesterday, 3 for 3. So shout out to the Wake and Rake. Another Wake and Rake parlay win yesterday. All 3 bets, 1, 2, 3. But we're sitting there, and I'm watching Austin Matthews, and I can't hear anything that he's saying. But we see that he goes up and collects awards, and I didn't even think about the Ted Lindsay Award, like what used to be the Lester B. Pearson, because I went, oh, we already saw this. Why are they replaying him go up? It's like, oh, no, because he won the Hart and he won the Lester B. Pearson or the Ted Lindsay, which is the most outstanding player in the regular season as judged by your peers, the members of the NHL Players Association. I don't really think that that matters more, the 10 Lindsay. I know that people have that take, but I don't think players always get it right. But I do think having both in the same year matters a lot. Both in the same year matters a lot. Matthews was always the MVP. People tried to have hot takes about it this year, which is fine because I love conversations about MVP. I love MVP debates. I think it's fine. I think it's healthy. I think it's good, blah, blah, blah. I think hockey doesn't have enough debate. It's the same problem that baseball has, which is people don't want to discuss these things, and so we don't really end up comparing stars out of markets. Baseball's problem is that it comes down to like a statistical argument where you can't really say, oh, well, what about a guy being on a bad team? Because there's a certain faction of people that just go, like, we don't care. Hockey has been a little different the last couple of years because it's like, oh, well, there's McDavid and there's Dreisaitl, and it's McDavid. He's the best player, blah, 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 blah. Matthews, he changed that a little bit this year. We had legitimate conversations about where Matthews places in the game. And now the parameters for him are clear. McDavid went deep into the playoffs last season. He had real playoff moments where he carried his team to series win against a rival. And Matthews said the things, the right things of he's still watching and it's hard to be there and they fought a good Tampa team. He had all the Matthews PR, all the Leafs PR things laid out. But the goal chases won't be fun anymore. Yes, last year it was. Last year it really was. It was fun, and I enjoyed it. Watching him collect that award, I thought to myself, you know, that guy broke Rick Vive's record, and he scored 60 goals, and that was awesome. Like, that was a really fun race, and I'm not going to let the disappointment of the postseason spoil what was really a fun regular season for that player. He was dominant at times, and that's with him doing the right thing. He scored 60 goals, and he also got that suspension at the end of the year, and then he did the right thing by resting his body and trying to get himself right for the postseason and didn't push himself just stat chasing 60 goals. We thought that the pressure was building up on him a little bit down the home stretch, but he ended up just, you know, following through and finishing it off. And I know that this is kind of like a boring take because everybody knows that the playoffs matter, so I don't mean to be kind of creating a straw man, but we really did think that individual award races wouldn't matter until Matthews had that season. But I don't think anyone, people will care. There will be factions of Twitter and the internet that will always judge the Toronto Maple Leafs on what the four guys do from a star power standpoint during the regular season. But it is now, hey, great, you have hardware, you have MVP trophy, you have a unanimous MVP year. How are you going to respond to this season, and what is it going to roll into next year, and will it equate to team success? Because his Toronto Maple Leaf legacy is potentially got only 2 years left, and he's going to be 25 years old this summer. What he does, it's hard to imagine how he has better statistics. So will he come back next year and find a way to have a better season? I wonder what that looks like for him.
It's hard to imagine since he had the best Toronto Maple Leafs season in history. And that still wasn't good enough for the team success that you want. And I liked your point about the heart and the Ted Lindsay Award, how I think it does mean a lot more to get both. And I thought, is that rare? And I went back and it's happened basically every year except for 2018 where Taylor Hall got the heart, but the Ted Lindsay was given to Connor McDavid. But other than that, usually it's pretty much on par with what the players think and what the voters think. But I think it means so much more to see that because we had debates all year long and a lot of people would text in and tweet in that McDavid, 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 or Dreisaitl, Dreisaitl, Dreisaitl. So to see that he was given that praise by players he plays with means a lot to me. I think that players know a little bit more than writers, no offense to those that vote. When we talk about... Oh, yeah?
I do.
Players don't know nothing, eh?
I don't think players know. They're playing in the games. They're playing in the season. They're not watching games the way that a lot of writers
are. But I think when they play against those players, they have that respect level that's different.
But that's the problem is that they're actually more biased. And that's the way that the issue is. If you actually routinely look at like when players vote for things, they screw it up bad. Like all the time. They usually go off of past performance. They go off of merit around the league. Like look at what just happened with... And I know Carey Price just had a good run, but... people ranked him ahead of Andrei Vasilevsky last year as the greatest goaltender on the planet, the players did. Like, if you go around and you look at this unanimously or universally, players actually do get it very wrong with these kind of things and these awards. I'm not saying they don't know the game more. I'm not saying they don't know the players more, but no, for actual
maybe
award,
too close to the situation to be able to evaluate all 32 teams.
No, there's a reason why we don't give players Hall of Fame votes. There's a reason why players... they've been given chances to make All-Star games or have impact in All-Star games. And again, almost every time it comes back as brutal. That's why I don't buy that the Lester B. Pearson Award, or sorry, the Ted Lindsay Award is more valuable. I do not believe that. I like both in concert. I think that that's a tipping of the cap to someone, that the league acknowledges again a season that someone has had, that if it is split, that's where you kind of look at it and go, huh, that's something. But I don't look at it as, that one's more important. I think that's just kind of, people being... I don't even think it's a hot take. I think it's just like a... I think it's a poorly thought out take. I think that that's all that one is. But anyways, what did you think about Kenan Thompson?
Yeah, I was going to say that the Kenan Thompson joke was pretty funny. If you missed it, it was exactly how they ended the entire night. We actually have the audio clip of it now. So Josh will play that and then we'll talk.
Congratulations, man. Good job, guys. Good job. Nice. That's our show, everybody. Congrats to Austin Matthews. It's nice to see the Leafs winning something in June.
Nice to see the Leafs winning something in June. End of show. I thought it was great. It was funny. I think he did a really good job. In the clips that I saw, we obviously didn't watch it all live because we were mucking wings on mute, but when we came back and saw clips, I thought he was funny. I thought it was a really great way to end that, wrap that up with a little shot towards Leaf fans, and you know what, he's right.
The thing that people were more curious about was the way the show ended abruptly upon him making the joke,
like if they did that on purpose to be like, oh, you can't say that, cut.
Yeah,
no way.
I don't think so either. I think that the show was just done, and he had the timing, and they told him the count in his ear, and he went up right against the count. I don't 100%. Think that there's a conspiracy.
It wasn't that bad. Like, what? Like, people have said worse things at award shows, and they didn't cut.
Of course, it wasn't that
bad. The show.
Of course, it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It's purely based on hockey, which is in hockey, joking about someone taking the piss out of someone is not as... It's so funny because it's a sport where you can say those things on the ice, like you mic up the players and it's the most electric audio that you'll ever get in any sport in terms of the way that the guys interact with one another, the things they'll say to each other, the hilarity of it all. And then you step off of the ice and, boy, you better not say anything about anybody in any real way. Like, you can dance around it a little bit, but saying something out loud in front of a microphone in hockey is like, oh my goodness. And so I think that people see something like that and they see a joke at the Leafs' expense and they wonder, like, is that why this is? Oh, that was that too harsh? Was that too harsh? I think it's a little bit of this reality we live in right now, which is that nobody knows jokes and nobody can even handle the slightest of jokes. There's going to be a faction of people who get offended by every little thing. So I think that there's that. It pushes it out in social media. The other part of it is that the hockey community cannot believe that that would happen because, again, they find that offensive for whatever reason. Talk trash on the ice, but no hockey players can handle it off. It's embarrassing every single year how this is. But three is I just think that that's a planned thing by they're counting it out. That guy knows comedic timing. He closes the show with what he thinks is one of his better jokes, but it actually turns out to be a dad joke. Anyway, I thought the joke was just meh. I'm not being Toronto sensitive. I just think it's a mad joke because I've heard the Leafs thing a billion times before. Yeah. That was just a different variation of, you know, every other Leafs joke that you've ever heard. From when the Leafs fall to the golf clubs to the parade, like whatever you want to do. It's
Maple
just a different
laughs.
Version of that. Whatever you want to do, it's the same version of the same of that joke. But I don't think there was a conspiracy. Anyways, are there conspiracies on the A-list today?
Are there? Yeah, there actually are multiple conspiracies on the A-list. I just had to think. Well, all right, here's one. Can we trust Trevor Lawrence? Can we trust his decision making? That's next. It's a Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Happy hump day to all of you loyal listeners out there. It's almost baby Friday. It's embryo Friday today. I said, did Trevor Lawrence ruin our faith and our trust in him? I know we haven't said that name in a while since Blake's been off the show. It's been, we've gone from the most covered Jaguars radio show in the country to no mentions of them, but he's back, and that's up first in the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Now take this with a grain of salt. It's a little bit of a stretch, but Twitter had some conversations about the trust that you can have in Trevor Lawrence after he put his entire bonus, his rookie bonus, into cryptocurrency, and has now lost 62% of said bonus from $24 million now to $8.96 million. And I know you, big crypto bro, JD Bunkus over there, knows all about the cryptocurrency world. He's one of the biggest sports stars who now have lost a significant amount of money by taking their salary in Bitcoin or crypto. I don't really know the difference.
So, no. I think it's questionable just like anything. Like, here, listen, I'm not going to give investing advice, but what I would say is that they tell you to have 5% of your portfolio in crypto. Crypto's this weird thing where there's like a religious element to crypto. The people who follow it are very, very adamant about what it is, and there's very little wiggle room for discussion about it. But then there's also a weird crowd of people, like, this becomes more of a story. We don't look at other athletes' investments in terms of what they do, because it's not as public to be asked for getting paid in cryptocurrency, but there aren't stories when it goes up and when it has been up. It's a highly volatile market, which is why it's kind of smart that Trevor Lawrence is doing it, because he's young and he can, guess what, afford to do that because he's making millions and millions of dollars. Do I recommend that that's what you do with your finances, is dump the same proportion as, and I don't mean the amount, because obviously no one has that amount, but the same percentage into crypto? Probably not, because it's volatile. You can't handle it. But this is investing 101. You haven't lost any money until you take it out. And if you're Trevor Lawrence, you've seen these dips and you've seen losses in this market, but you're probably going to end up seeing it go back up. I don't think that Bitcoin is going anywhere. I don't think that cryptocurrencies are going anywhere. There will be some that come and go. I think that you should be smart and not invest in things like Dogecoin. I think that, or Mooncoin or whatever other coin.
Those can't be real.
Yeah, those are real. But yeah, but you should probably be pretty cautious about that stuff.
Mooncoin.
But I think that this is one of those weird things in sports. And it's also one of those weird things because of people who don't have any type of holding in crypto, where they really want to see it fail. They really want to see it bomb. And so stories like this get done, and they get pushed out as, is Trevor Lawrence an idiot? And it's like, no, it's a year into an investment that he probably hasn't withdrawn from. So I think that people should probably chill on this stuff both ways.
Okay.
What's next?
I just wanted to get you talking about crypto at 6:40 a.m. All right. So I brought you in with All-Star by Smash Mouth, because the Toronto Blue Jays are just dominating the MLB All-Star voting right now. They're at record-breaking pace. Franchise best, 4 Blue Jays are in line to start the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And Kirk, our guy, Alejandro Kirk, leads all American catchers and is third overall in the entire AL with over 1 million votes, mm-hmm. which I know we talked about it about 2 weeks ago, that Kirk's going to be an All-Star, and, like, you know, it's a lock. He is absolutely miles and miles ahead of anyone in the catching ballot. But in terms of actually just being voted in general. He's up there with Aaron Judge and Mike Trout. Like, those are the guys that you're behind if you're Alejandro Kirk. So I thought it was awesome. It's so great to see how many Blue Jays are up there in the voting right now. And it continues for, I think, another 2 weeks at least. So if you haven't voted yet, you can go to bluejays.com/allstar. But we have Kirk, Vladdy, Bichette, and Springer that would currently start at the MLB All-Star game if it was tomorrow.
I saw there was outrage online with this.
Outrage.
The Blue Jays isn't right. Just, you know, too many guys, blah, blah, blah. We know that when Toronto has good players in sports, especially in basketball and baseball, where there's more of a nationalistic tie-in, that it extends beyond Toronto, that it isn't an NHL All-Star game. We've seen the voting power of this country, and we see how it becomes a national thing rather than just a smaller regional thing in the States. Toronto is one of the biggest cities in all of North America alone. You take all of Canada, and there's not a lot of places that you can stack up against when it comes to All-Star voting. Also, Canada likes to be seen in these, like they do. With Kyle Lowry, people viewed it as, get Kyle Lowry, get DeMar DeRozan into an All-Star game, or Pascal Siakam, mm-hmm. because you're seen. You have to be seen at the All-Star games. You have to be acknowledged at the All-Star games. Everybody everywhere likes All-Stars, but I think that the Canadian sports teams, the Raptors and the Blue Jays, it matters more. It's more important to be seen at the national level, to watch American coverage, because again, we look for that validation. And sports fans can pretend like they don't want it, but it's a fact. It's just a fact, a fact, a fact. People want it. So you see this representation year over year over year when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays. I particularly don't care about who goes to All-Star games. Like, I think that the Blue Jays have some worthy candidates, but it's one of those things where I go, all right, they're not going to send the entire Blue Jays team, everybody. So, like, there are other good baseball players. There are other good guys on other teams. So it's not going to be Springer, Bichette, Vladdy, Manoa, Gausman, Kirk, you know, Romano. They're not going to send 25 guys. They're going to send a couple, maybe three. But the people who care from other markets, it's just like, no, this is what Toronto does. This is something that Toronto will do in basketball. It's something that they will do in baseball. They will vote in players. When the team is good and people are paying attention and there are pushing for votes, it's good. I think it is interesting that Kirk had that many, that he's already become just like this rapidly a household name. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think a pretty clear indicator from the fan base in terms of the guy they care the most about. And if you followed the rumors with Jose Ramirez and whether the Blue Jays were going to be able to move on him, word was that Kirk was one of the asks in the trade package. Not that he would have been, but like, or that the Blue Jays would have said yes, because he was part of a couple of different players, a collection of players. But my guess is he would have been in it, and that Cleveland would have asked for him to be there. And now I wonder, moving forward, when they have this three catcher thing where they're going, well, who and how are we prioritizing? I wonder if it matters at all that, like, not of course how he's succeeding, but how the fan base views him. That millions of people vote for him to be the best catcher on this team. It's just a little bit of food for thought.
Something to chew on, possibly, a little later. Yes, keep voting for the Toronto Blue Jays, especially for Kirk. I want to see him there. I think he's been a great story. He's been the MVP for the Blue Jays for the last month or two, you could say. Okay, somebody else that's an All-Star, Rob Gronkowski, says he's hanging up his cleats again. He announced that he was retiring, which is not the first time he's announced that he is retiring. He said this after the 2018 season, after playing 9 years with the Patriots. Then he comes back this time around, puts out another lengthy Instagram post saying that he's so just ready for that next part of his life. But then he says, well, if Tom Brady gives me a call, I could be interested in coming back. So what are the odds that you're placing that we see Gronk play next season?
100%.
It's pretty much a certainty, isn't it?
100%. He's I can't remember who tweeted this, but someone did, and it's the right take, which is he didn't retire from the NFL. He's retired from training camp.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He doesn't want to go to training camps anymore. He doesn't want to put his body through the rigors of those practices. And he's earned that right as one of the greatest tight ends who has ever played the position. Some people would argue the greatest tight end who's ever played the position. The most complete tight end who's ever played the position. He's a first ballot, unquestioned Hall of Famer. And this would have worked. There's certain players that this works for. And he's already proven that the formula works for him. He can show up in the middle of a season and have an impact. He's never going to play for anybody else. This doesn't necessarily work if Rob Gronkowski's trying to go play for, I was going to say the Lions, but that's literally the one franchise he was like, I'll retire for real if you trade me there. But yeah, he's not playing with anyone other than Tom Brady. But if Tom Brady wants Rob Gronkowski to show up, he can probably pick up the phone. And if the Buccaneers are that close and they have a chance at winning a Super Bowl and that offensive line gels and the weapons look good, and they don't look like the team that looked a little overexposed at the end of last year, then I think that Gronk comes back and he tries to rack up another Super Bowl with Tom. But he just they do it in their own way, which is Gronk comes in the middle of the season. That's it. That's all. There's no I want to say there's no story here. There's obviously a story here. There's potential that he's done, but I think it's very low. I think it's 100% that Rob comes back and he plays with Brady. And that, yeah, he unretires and they make jokes about it. And the two of them have a cute social media post in a couple of months. And that's what it's going to be.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think the 100%
no one
certainty
would.
Is a tough one. But I no, didn't think about the whole. All right. We'll circle back in 1 year on this conversation on June 22nd and see.
We'll see.
All right. One last one to squeeze in here. So the PGA Tour obviously has been having some difficulties with LIV Golf taking their players, and the controversy of the last 2 weeks has been the battle between these two. But the PGA Tour just announced yesterday, they had an emergency press conference, that they're going to counter the LIV Golf series by doing $20 million no-cut tournaments for their top players beginning fall 2023. So the top 50 finishers in the prior FedEx Cup standings will be invited to 8 events with purses of $20 million each. So trying to put much more money in their players' ability to win PGA Tour money without trying to get people to go over to LIV Golf. I wonder if this is actually going to create a good rivalry, or if we're just going to see, like we saw yesterday during the show, Brooks Koepka deciding to leave midway through the season. Like, if you think that this is actually something that's going to be a decision piece that keeps people from going to LIV Golf.
No.
It's not good enough.
It's not that it's not good enough. These guys already make too much money. This comes down to whether or not you want to play. Like, this is the problem the PGA has. Already the players don't really care about most of the tournaments they have. It's all about money. These guys make copious amounts of it. And now LIV Tour is offering, hey, you get to go play on a tour where no one also cares. The casual fan, like, your legacy doesn't change based on winning a Farmers Insurance Open. It changes if you rack up multiple PGA event wins, like if you win a ton on the PGA. But the signifier here is that these guys don't care. They know that their legacies are going to be defined by majors and how much money they make. And so if they can play in the majors and they can take advantage of the thing that the PGA has to offer them, and then they can go back to the LIV Tour and make more money. Like, unless PGA is going to offer more money than the LIV Tour, then yeah, it's not a story. Like
that's possible, unfortunately.
But that's what I'm saying. So no, it's not. Like, the rivalry already exists between the two. I think it is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out over the next little while. But no, I do not think that the PGA upping purses is going to change guys' minds, because the purse increases are not going to be in the stratosphere. And plus, whatever the PGA does, it's going to be like Blake with the Wings, where they're just going to say, oh, I'm going to do one more than you. Let's take a break. Let's come back and talk to my buddy Christopher Stieg about tonight's game. Big one for Tampa. Big one for Colorado. Like, big game in general. Like, we're either having 2-2 or 3-1
strangle hold
back. It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's game four tonight. We'll talk about it. We'll preview it with Christopher Stieg, two-time Stanley Cup champion, someone who beat this Lightning team to get one. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with J.D. and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.